and pray praiseworthy things to God. Is there any effect on us? And this is what they found. I think this was Harvard did this study. I forgot to write it down. If you were to practice praising God regularly, it says it strengthens the empathy center, making you more resilient to stress. Nobody wants to be resilient to stress, right? Like, nope, that's fine. I don't need that. I bring on the stress. I like stress. Number two, it quiets the fear center, leading to lower levels of anxiety and stress. My anxious people, do you want to be done with that anxiety? Maybe. What?
Very much so.
Number three, it stabilizes your mood. And when done with a group, it fosters a deeper sense of connection and trust. So not only does it benefit you personally, but when we praise God together, it actually brings a deeper sense of connection with those around you. This is another one of the reasons, get on my soapbox a little bit here, this is why church is so important, why we need to be with the saints. You can't just do it on your own, because when we praise God together, it actually brings us closer together. It makes us it reinforces that body sense that we're supposed to have as literally the body of Christ. Number four, it strengthens the prefrontal cortex, the part for high-level decision-making. Praise actually strengthens your ability in decision-making. Nobody wants to get better at making decisions, right? Nobody. Okay. And number five, it rewires your brain to notice positive stimuli more quickly than negative ones. Which I think this is a big one, because we are in a society that complains about everything, that will point and criticize and just point out the negative of everything that's happening in life. And so what praise does is it actually trains your brain to look for the good things in life. I don't know anybody else. I want to see the good things. Okay, actually, hands up. Who thinks all five of those things are really good reasons to praise God? How many of you... you're like, you had me at less anxiety, right? Right? Like, so Paul's not off his rocker. He's not just coming up with this all on his own. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, he's actually giving us really good reasons to praise him. And now science has come along and said, oh, the Bible's not crazy. Imagine that. But this is just reinforced, right? Because when is the time you don't feel like praising God? We don't feel like it when we're anxious. We don't feel like it when we're stressed. We don't feel like it when life feels like it's in crisis. And according to this, that's the very reason you need to praise. Because it's actually the solution to everything you're experiencing, everything that's holding you back. If you're anxious and your thoughts are racing and you can't focus, that's the very reason you need to sing out and get your mind off of whatever's causing the anxiety so you can focus and enter the presence of the God of the universe who gives joy and peace and goodness and love and fill in the blank. Whatever it is that you need in that moment where you don't feel like praising is the very thing you're going to get if you can get yourself to praise. So number four, when we praise, we experience, I just said, love and or joy and peace. There's a whole host of other things we could have put in there. And all of it we experience because we enter into God's presence. Number five, I got to keep moving because I got to get the team back up because I'll fill the rest of the time if I'm not careful. Number five, praises increases our faith to pray expectantly. In the Romans passage, it said, the God of all hope, the source of all hope, is what brings us joy and peace. When we have hope, hope of good things, hope that God is going to follow through on his promises, when hope comes, we pray differently because we pray with an expectation that God is going to move, right? It's not, God, please, I just hope if it's your will that you'll heal. Instead, it's, God, I pray that you'll heal this person because you are good. You've done it in the past and you can do it again. Who's done praying wimpy prayers? I am. I'm done. I don't want to do it anymore. I want to pray expectantly. I want to pray with more hope. Let's read the scriptures before I get ahead of myself. I'm all out of sorts. You're supposed to sing two more songs. Isaiah 40, 30 and 31. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. 2 Corinthians 3:12. Since this new day gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. Bold in what? Bold in our faith. Bold in our witness of who Jesus is. And bold in our prayers to pray those confident, powerful, expectant prayers that God wants us to pray. Don't pray like we serve a weak God. We serve a powerful God. A God who says that if you just had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say this mountain be tossed in the ocean and it would. I want to pray those prayers. Amen? Okay, keep moving. Imagine what would happen, church, if we started praying those kinds of prayers, those mountain-moving, life-changing, heart-altering, transformative prayers, and we did it regularly. We could save our whole community, whatever community that may be that you're a part of, because I'm not so dense to think it's just Carlisle here, right? We got Manor. We've got Bellegarde? Yeah, okay. I'm not crazy. We got Arcola. We got Kenosi. Let no community be safe from one church in our kingdom building vision and purpose. Number six. I'm losing everybody. Okay. Praise is a spiritual weapon against the forces of evil. And I want to show you two stories from the Old Testament that really bring this about. First one is 2 Chronicles 20. King Jehoshaphat has brought the armies of Judah together, and they're looking against the army that they're going to take on. And it says they are as numerous as the sands of the seashore. And Jehoshaphat is scared, understandably. Like, he is completely outnumbered. And what does he do? He doesn't panic. He doesn't try to rally more forces. He doesn't resort to man's way of dealing with it. He goes to prayer. And the Lord says, don't worry, I'm going to take care of it. And so Jehoshaphat responds with this. Verse 21, after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord, praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang: give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love endures forever. No shields, no swords. The SWAT team is in the back. It's the worship team out front singing praises to God. Singers, how would you like to be the ones that have the arrows pointed at you at this point? You're feeling good, hey? Verse 22, at that very moment, they began to sing and praise. And the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting amongst themselves. Jehoshaphat sent the praise team out in front, and in their singing, as it pushed back the spiritual army that was coming up against Israel, the human army turned on itself. And they said, by the time the Jehoshaphat and the army got there, all that was left was to plunder the remains. Why? Because God goes and fights before us, because praise is our spiritual weapon. The second one is in 1 Samuel. We read, Saul has become king, and he has acted dishonorably before God. And so what has happened is God has actually picked a different king, and he has removed his Holy Spirit from Saul and replaced it with a tormenting spirit. And what the story tells us is that Saul would be tormented, and he would go crazy, and nothing could calm him down except for David. 1 Samuel 16:23, whenever the tormenting spirit from God troubled Saul, David would play his harp. then Saul would feel better and the tormenting spirit would go away. Psalm 8:2, you have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. The psalmist is looking to God saying that when even infants, when they praise, they silence the spiritual enemies. They silence our spiritual foe. I honestly believe that when it comes to Sunday morning gathering, when we're practicing and we're getting everything going, this is the reason that if something's going to go wrong, it's when the praise team's on the stage. Because we don't just start because it's a nice thing to do. We don't start with singing because it creates an atmosphere. We honestly believe as a church that we are starting the hard work of pushing back the spiritual forces of darkness so that when you get here, that thing that is tormenting you, that thing that's holding you back cannot hold you back in here anymore, and you can have the freedom to praise God as He deserves. And so we start with praise. We start with one of the most powerful things that we have. We start with prayer, because if we try to go right into praise practice, that's when stress goes through the roof. So we start with prayer. God have mercy that everything goes good. And the praise team gets ready. And they bring us into the presence of God. Because where the presence of God is, evil cannot be there as well. It is your spiritual. And here's the reality. Here's why I believe you don't always feel like it. Because your spiritual enemy doesn't want you praising. He doesn't want you singing out to God. He doesn't want you focusing on God's goodness. He wants you focused on everything that's wrong right here. And so if he can rob you of your praise, he's going to manipulate. He's going to have his way, and he's going to discourage you and suck the life out of your bones. And so the way we push him back is we praise. And so when we get here and we don't feel like it, we still push through. But it's not just Sunday morning. This is why I am a firm believer that we need to be praising God all the time. The psalmist said regularly, every day, daily I will praise the Lord. Daily I will lift my praises. And we live in such a cool time in history where your phone can find you any worship song you want. Right? So what would happen if every day this week you went on your phone and opened Spotify or YouTube or whatever and you turned on a praise song? Whatever one you want. You want a good old hymn? Go for it. Find something that inspires praise in you. Get your eyes on the Lord and start your day pushing back your enemy and see what happens. See what happens when you follow that with opening your word. Because just like we're supposed to be reading our Bible daily, which I know you all do. I'm so proud of you, by the way that you guys are committed to that. We should also be singing. And praising. I'm not necessarily singing, just praising him and thanking him for who he is and his goodness. So this is the why. Why do we start with singing? Because we push back the forces of darkness when we start our gatherings with praise. What do we do when we don't feel like it? Well, chances are it's the very thing that you need. So this is the why, because God is worthy. Now the big question, how? How do we praise him? For all of you that are new, you're welcome. For all of you that have been around here for a while, it's a good reminder for us. How do we praise God? Number one, with your whole heart. Hold nothing back. I said it before. Jesus said we are to love the Lord your God with how much of our heart? Just 90%, right? Just the part of our heart that we're comfortable giving over and we'll hold back. No, we love God with all of our heart. Psalm 9:1, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the marvelous things you have done. Psalm 111:1, praise the Lord, I'll thank the Lord with all my heart as I meet with his godly people. Oop. So number one, how? All of it. Hold nothing back. Let God take your heart and just heal all those things that need to be healed. We praise him with all our heart. Number two, you may speak, shout, or sing praises. Psalm 47:1, come everyone, clap your hands, shout to God with joyful praise. It's interesting when we talk about praise. In the West, we're so comfortable with singing because that's what we're used to doing on a Sunday morning, right? We just start with praise. So singing is the normal way we practice that. When we pray our praise, right? Jesus taught us that when he gave us the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. That is an expression of worship. May your name be kept high. May the way I live my life honor your name above every other name. We're okay with singing. We're okay with saying. But when we start talking about shouting praise, the church in the West goes, ugh. Ray Dirksen pointed out as we were talking about this the other day, why is it, church, that we're okay going to the Rider game or a Cougars hockey game or our kids' game or whatever it may be and shouting our hearts out? Why is it we're okay going to a concert and singing along at the top of our lungs? But the pastor stands up and says, we need to shout our praises to God. And you're all like, ooh, I ain't doing that. Who's worthy of us to shout to? Is it the Riders? Sometimes you want to shout at them because they're being dumb, but that's different. When we sing, when we praise God, we should do it at a volume that we want to be heard. We should be on our rooftops and the mountaintops and shouting the goodness of God. I think so often in the West, we try to hide our faith. And the idea of actually being seen and heard praising him is a little intimidating. Let's stop hiding our faith. Let's stop whispering those songs. Let's shout out. Number three, with corresponding postures. And this is the part that gets such a mixed review. I'm just going to have so much fun with this. Psalm 95:6, come let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. History tells us that the Apostle James had knees like a camel. And the reason for that is he spent so much time on his knees praying that they just got so callous. They got so hard. It was like he had built-in knee pads all the time. Because kneeling and bowing before the King of Kings is an appropriate posture to him. It is an appropriate way to remember that we are the dust of the earth and he is the creator and sustainer of the whole universe. We should bow and kneel before the Lord. Psalm 134:2, lift your hands before toward the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Psalm 141:2, accept my prayer as incense offered to you and my upraised hands as an evening offering. Oh, come back to that one. That one's going to be fun. Okay. What is the picture the psalmist is painting? When we burn incense, what does it do? Does it just sink to the ground and create that really cool smoky floor atmosphere? No, it rises up. It lifts to the heavens. And he says, that's how we praise. We lift our hands like incense, pray, because our prayers in Revelation are described as incense, lifting before God. So an appropriate posture of praise is to lift our hands before him. It's also, right, when you watch the cop shows and they tell you to lift your hands, what is this? It's a posture of surrender. It's a reminder that we are surrendering to God. It's your plan. It's your way. I want you to move. I'm going to get out of your way. I surrender to you, God. This isn't a Pentecostal thing. I said this a couple weeks ago. This is a biblical posture of praise and worship and prayer to lift our hands to heaven. The next posture, if I said shouting got a reaction, just wait for this one. Okay. 2 Samuel 6:16, as the ark of the Lord entered the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window. When she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she was filled with contempt for him. David was dancing before God in such a way it embarrassed his wife. That's what that says. And she came and they had a talk about it later. You need to just tone her down a little bit. David's like, I'm dancing before God. I don't need to tone it down. I will be even more shameful before God if it means that his name is lifted high. That tells me, church, that it's okay that if you sing a little off tune, if you start to feel them, and it's okay to embarrass your spouse. That's what I'm getting from this, okay? It's okay to worship in such a way that your spouse is like, we need to talk about this or get you dance lessons. I don't know what we need to do, but we need to fix this. It's okay. David did it. My point is, don't hold back. Just let her go. If for those of you that are like, I don't sing well, that's why we have the music loud, so we can't hear you. Just God hears you. That's the important part, okay? Praise. Give it all you got. And here's the power of posture. This is where I want to just, before we turn it back. In those moments where we don't, okay, get ahead of myself. Often when you watch people praising God, if they're the person who lifts their hands, right, either this my fish was this big or touchdown, whichever one they're doing. If you haven't seen Tim Hawkins, you don't get that, but it's still funny. Okay, anyways, it's often because they're so caught up in the praise that their body responds, right? That is often the way the posture works. I'm singing, I'm praising, and I got to lift my hands before God. That's the typical way. But did you know that it also works the opposite way? If you feel like you can't worship, if you feel like you can't sing and praise God, and you take a posture of praise, your heart will follow. If you ever watching me up at the front, there's not many Sundays I don't lift my hands. And some, usually it's the praise is good, I'm getting into it, and I'm singing. But there are times like this morning where everything's out of order, my brain is racing, I don't feel like praising, but I know I need to enter into the presence of God and experience that peace and joy, so I throw my hands up even when I don't feel like it. And all of a sudden, my brain stops racing, my heart calms down, and everything goes good. Sometimes we need to use posture to lead our heart into praise. The other instance, and my kids laugh at me all the time, if I'm working on my sermon and I feel stuck, you know, after I've pounded on the table a couple times, I throw my hands up, I'm like, God, I don't know what to do, but I really need your help. It's just a posture of praise. You're good. Your wisdom is good. I'm stuck. You're not. Hallelujah, you're a good God. You can still use the mess that I'm going to present. Sometimes posture follows praise, but other times, praise follows posture. And so this is where the praise team, you guys can start coming back up. The reason I'm using the language of praise team is because when we gather, everything we do, the sermon, the study in the Bible, the singing, all of it is worship. But when we sing, we praise God. We put our eyes and our hearts towards him. Because not only is everything we do Sunday morning worship, everything we do all day long, every day is worship. Paul says in 1 Corinthians that everything you do, even your eating and drinking, should be done to the glory of God. So everything we do is an act of worship. But what we do this morning when we sing is we praise. So as the praise team comes back and leads us in two more songs, church, if you are able, please stand and take what you have heard. This is your opportunity to practice. However you feel comfortable. But I would dare you, I dare you, to maybe get a little uncomfortable this morning. So let's go to praise.